with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma.
You're right.
Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. I was wondering if we would get a text about this. And the very first, when I open up the text line, I see, I would like to ask, what in the HE double hockey sticks is going on with OSU basketball?
I caught the ending of that last night. Goodness. Man.
I had a feeling we would have some folks that might, it's not good in Stillwater.
But here's the deal. They'll get up for Bedlam and they'll beat OU.
Sooners rolling after a win last night. We got all kinds of things to talk about today. We're going to hit a bunch of high school hoops, though, right off the top of the show. As most of you know, and all of you should know, not only do we have this fine show here in the mornings, but both of us go out in the field, and we've got the Paragon TV that you're on a part of with Canute. Obviously, Big Elk TV with Elk City, and you're on there with me as well during football. You know, it's basketball season. And so we do all that. So what we thought was, everybody loves high school basketball, right, in Western Oklahoma? But not only should you hear from us, you should hear from the folks that are out there doing this stuff, right?
Perfect.
And so, Talon, you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, it's Talon Mills. He's out with Eric each and every night. The Lady Bearcats and the Bearcats played 7 games so far. Eric girls 3-4. The Eric boys 4-3, coming off a split last night down in Hollis. Talon, kind of give us an idea of what happened last night in the girls' game between Lady Bearcats and the Hollis Lady Tigers.
Well, I feel like Hollis is out physical on the defense side of the ball. Hollis started the game out with a press, and Eric just turned the ball over and over again. I feel like that was the main problem, as Hollis played a lot of defense to offense with easy fast break layups. And when Eric would move the ball fine, they would really get good shots. And when they made the shots, they scored. But it was just Hollis's press really killed them, forced a lot of turnovers. And those turnovers led to easy baskets on the other end.
Has that been kind of something that you've seen throughout the season that's been a bugaboo for the Lady Bearcats? Or is that something that just kind of popped up last night because of Hollis's style?
I kind of feel like that has been the problem for the Eric Lady Bearcats on the year. I mean, when they move the ball fine and get open shots, I mean, they play great because they're a really good shooting team. They really are. That's just the problem. They can't get the open shots. So I feel like that's should be the main point. If they get open shots, they'll be really successful this season.
Well, talk about the season overall. We'll start with the girls. 3-4, kind of up and down, started the season, the couple of losses, then got on a little bit of a roll. Talk about the bright spots for this team.
I feel like the bright spots for this team was that week when we played 3 games that week. We played Olustee, Oklahoma, and Granite, and they were all wins in kind of dominant fashion. I feel like we played well those games because we played really well defensively, moved the ball well, and got great open shots. But the losses, you know, against Sentinel, Hollis, and Canute, Sweetwater, just the other teams were out physicaling us and just way faster, and I feel like that showed. But I feel like when we have better speed and better size, we really move the ball well, and that gets the wins. But I feel like Coach Tina Clayton, who's the first-year coach here at Eric, she can really make those adjustments, and I really think Eric will be well going farther into the season.
Yeah, that was my last question on the girls' side of things. You know, Justin Jans had been the head coach there, very successful for years at Eric. What are some things you notice maybe differently about the style that Coach Clayton has versus what Justin did for years?
I feel like she tries to move a lot slower. I mean, I feel like Coach Jans, he tried to go fast, 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 try to score, score, score. And it worked really well. He won a state championship in 2013, and his teams were always great. And Coach Tina Clayton is a great coach. I just feel like she plays slower and tries to slow the game down. And the games where she's been able to kind of do that and get open shots, they have won. But the games where she kind of gets rushed and the other teams press, that's the games that Eric has lost.
Let's move on to the boys. Coach Newcomb has his team at 4-3, got a win last night over a Hollis team that I would suspect be pretty physical. You talk about physicality in that girls' game, Hollis, you know, a football school and all of that. That's a nice win for them after losing a couple in a row there. First off, talk about last night's game at Hollis.
It was a great close game. I feel like both those teams are evenly matched. I mean, it could have gone either way. Just depend who made more shots, honestly. But Eric was led by Baylor Crosby. He had 25 points. He was really the MVP on the night. I mean, when Eric needed to go-ahead bucket, I mean, he was there. He hit multiple three-point shots. And it was a nice win for him on the road. They were coming off two losses against Grant and Sentinel that are two great teams. I thought they played those teams fantastic, just didn't come out with a win. But they came out to Hollis on the road and got a fantastic win led by Crosby. And also Barrett Thompson had 8 points. That's a season high for him. He was crashing the boards. He played fantastic also.
Yeah, that was a Hollis team, like Jared said, a football team. You never really know. It seems like there's a difference in you know, the physicality, especially out of, you know, before Christmas, before the football-playing schools get used to kind of playing basketball again. A really nice win for Eric. What are you noticing about Coach Newcomb's team this year? And there's some different guys that are going to have to contribute after losing some from graduation last year.
Yes, I feel like the strong point for this team this year is shooting the ball. I mean, they shoot the ball fantastic. I mean, majority of their points is from the three-point shot. And they're a really fast team. They move the ball well, kind of like the girls. Girls kind of play slow. The boys play really, really fast. They want to score, and they score really, really quick. And I feel like their main offense is the three-point shot. When they hit the three-point shot, they're a really hard team to beat, and that's why they won the game against Hollis last night, was because of the three-point shot.
And let's preview real quick. First tournament of the year coming up this weekend at Granite. What do you know about who's in it? Have you seen a bracket yet? And how do you think they'll do?
I know that the Eric boys will play Indiahoma. They play them at 8:20 tomorrow night. And the Eric boys did play Indiahoma earlier in the year, and they won in overtime 56-53 at Indiahoma. It was a great game, so I think that's going to be tomorrow night. And the girls also play Indiahoma, but that's at 7 o'clock. And the girls also beat Indiahoma in the year. That score was 47-36. So I think we're going to have two great games tonight, and hopefully Eric wins and gets to the winner's bracket.
On the boys' side, obviously, Granite's a ranked team. Who else will be maybe the challenges that the Bearcats could face? And then same question on the girls' side.
Oh, Eric, the Bearcats are a 3 seed, and the 2 seed of the tournament is Navajo, so that will probably most likely be the other big test. But if Eric plays like they're supposed to, I really do think they can get in that championship and get a rematch of Granite. And with the girls, I think the main team in that tournament is Hollis. I mean, Hollis just beat Granite pretty good, so that's going to be the main challenge for Eric. Also, the Navajo girls are really good, too. They are the 2 seed, so those are the main two challengers for the Eric Lady Bearcats in that tournament.
Awesome, man. Talon, thank you for joining us. Appreciate the information on the Eric basketball teams. We'll do it again.
All right, appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much, Talon Mills of the Eric Lady Bearcats. All right, Jared, as I...
Where are we going next?
Next, we're going to go to Arapahoe Butler.
Well, it'd help if you have your. I'll talk about Arapahoe.
Why don't you tell us about Arapahoe, about Canute, or whatever?
There we go. Yeah, we'll talk about Arapahoe. They got a win last night, both girls and boys in a Custer County. It's like the small school version of a Custer County conflict. It was at Thomas Faye Custer. Girls got the win, and girls coming. That's their second win of the year. 2-4 in the season. Their first year head coach Lacey Holt. And Coach Rogers in a rebuilding year, I think. We'll find out. They're 2-4 as well. But they also got the win at Thomas, which might springboard them moving forward coming up this weekend, a tough tournament that they're going to participate in, and we'll hear more about that as well. So we're going to hear from the voice of the Arapahoe Butler Indians and Lady Indians coming up. Also, a little bit later, we're going to hear from Lake Carpenter, the voice of the Leedy Bison and Lady Bison, and Ed Crapshaw. He's the voice of the Hammond Warriors and Lady Warriors. We're kind of leading this up into the big tournament that's coming, or it is a tournament weekend, so this is a perfect opportunity for us to talk to these play-by-play announcers for these teams on Paragon, kind of give a preview of these upcoming tournaments, which is kind of one of those early litmus tests for a lot of these teams on where they're at before heading into the holiday break. Christmas holiday break for a couple of weeks before they really hit the ground running in January with a couple more tournaments scheduled for most and just a full slate of games. So in these tournaments, what I've seen, the brackets I've seen, are loaded with some talented teams, all those that I've mentioned, as we're still efforting to get Arapaho on the air. Just heard from Eric. And last night, and we'll rehash this later, and Canute got a win last night, or a couple of wins last night over Sayre. They, too, are in a tournament this weekend over in Moreland. And still having some trouble? Are we getting them? We're getting them. All right. I'm working on a slow internet here. Canute, the Trojanettes got the win over Sayre. It is not on my – there it is. 59-31. They're up in Moreland this weekend for the Holiday Classic up there. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
All right, we're back.
All right, we got – who do we
join us now. We've got the voice of Arapaho Butler, Luke Thompson. Luke, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We're doing wonderful. The Indians and Lady Indians have had tons of success over the last decade, half decade. Slow start to the season, but they both bounced back with a pair of wins, including last night up in Thomas. Tell us about first the Lady Indians. Looked like an exciting, fun game that went right down to the wire against Thomas.
Yeah, absolutely. It was just that. And, you know, the Lady Indians came into the season having replaced basically the entire starting lineup, and that obviously attributed to the success over the last few years. But over the first six games, each and every night, they've gone out and have gotten better. Everybody's kind of getting a little bit more comfortable in their role and kind of find their niche for this team and find themselves in a two-game winning streak. And, again, a great win last night against Thomas, went right down to the wire, pulled out a one-point victory.
You know, it's impossible to replace somebody like Katie Edlin and the impact that she had starting as a freshman all the way through her senior year. Who has tried to kind of step up and be the leaders of the Lady Indians team so far this season?
Well, you're right. Katie absolutely had a great career, and it's hard for just one player to replace a player like that. But J.C. South has kind of been the one that's kind of taking the bull by the horns, and she's a natural leader, natural competitor, just extremely intense player. Not much to her, just small frame, but I mean, you talk about dynamite coming in small packages. That's absolutely her, and she's really stepped up as far as being the team leader as well as the leader on the floor. She's the leading scorer. Had a great night last night. Hit a big three on the last possession for the Lady Indians to go from down one up two with about 12 seconds left. So she's been huge in that role. And then Jade Aiken has kind of been the other girl with some experience coming back who's really stepped up. She's really kind of got going here the last couple games and kind of given the Lady Indians a nice 1-2 punch.
I really like South's game. She doesn't play her size. She's you know, her stature and everything, her physicality, but the way she can shoot, she plays bigger than that. I've seen her elevate a team last year a few times with her three-point shot. She's fun to watch. What's the style like now that first-year head coach, is it Lacey Holt, that's brought to this team? You know, every coach has a different style, or is there sort, or is it kind of continuing what Coach Edlin had done in the past? What's that like?
You know, Lacey, obviously in her first year as a head coach, she's doing an outstanding job. You know, I kind of say she was kind of born to do this, literally. Her dad, Rob Friesen, is a Hall of Fame baseball coach, and just, she kind of grew up in the gym and at the softball or baseball field, and she's just really kind of been a perfect fit for this. And having helped Christy over the last few years, I think she's kind of kept a lot of things that they did, and clearly it worked. And so now that she's got some different personnel, she's kind of tweaked things here and there. But for the most part, I think system-wise, it's a lot like they have done over the last few years.
On the boys' side, looks kind of similar as far as the way the season started, losing the first four, now bouncing back with a couple of wins, including last night at Thomas. Tell us where the Indians are through six games this season.
Yeah, kind of in the same boat as the girls a little bit. Lost some really good key players from last year's team. Coming into this year, knew there were some guys that hadn't had a lot of experience or have to play some key roles. As much as anything, early, that the schedule was a bit of the problem, and just a really tough schedule out of the gate. And when you're trying to get some guys' feet wet, it's just tough when you're opening with Fort Cobb, the multi-time defending state champion. But they're kind of getting their feet under them now. They're kind of like the girls are. They're kind of figuring out their niches and their roles, and really starting to play good basketball.
Individually, name some guys who has stood out for Coach Rogers.
Well, and again, a young group, not many seniors rolling out there, but early on, Rylan Moore, a sophomore, first-year starter, he looked really good. He had a big night last night. Deshaun Washi has he missed the first three games, and since he's returned, it's really kind of given the Indians a spark. He's kind of like Rylan. He's an undersized big. He kind of plays bigger than he is, really good on the defensive end, really athletic, long, and rangy. So he's been a nice spark since he's been back. And then Orson Jabara, he's one of the few returning starters. He's just kind of a steady, calm player out there. He can handle it. He can shoot it. He can defend. He's just kind of the guy. He's going to bring it every night. Just super consistent.
It's got to be a little bit weird. This week is normally five-county week, and obviously that went away. But you guys headed up to Leedy, the South Canadian Classic, and a really, really good field of teams, it looks like, on both sides. Tell everybody that's listening kind of what the Lady Indians and the Indians have coming up this week up at Leedy.
Yeah, it's exciting that there's a new tournament. The five-county had been kind of a staple in this area for a long time, and with that going away, those teams had to find somewhere else to go. So Leedy started the South Canadian Classic, and you're right, the field is loaded. And one cool thing about it is both teams are going to see some people they don't normally see in the regular season. Going to have a little bit of an Eastern flavor in this far western Oklahoma tournament. The Lady Indians will play tomorrow night at 5:30, and they will play not a familiar team, but a familiar coach for sure, as they take on the Red Oak Lady Eagles. And they'll be seeing Luke Broadbent again, who people in this area are very familiar with. Then the boys, they'll open up tomorrow at 1:45, and they'll take on the number 4-ranked Okarchee Warriors. So both teams playing highly ranked opponents, and both teams going to have big challenges in front of them.
I think that's an interesting point you bring up, because as much as I kind of long for the history and the tradition of the Five County, for the teams themselves, it probably works out a little bit better to see some unfamiliar faces, some different styles than what they're accustomed to seeing with the teams that they would have played in the Five County, and also a couple times during the regular season.
Absolutely. The familiarity around here is pretty predominant. A lot of the tournaments you play in, there's teams that are in all three tournaments with you, and so it is nice to see some different teams. We got Red Oak from way down in southeast Oklahoma, Balco's coming from the Panhandle. So it's kind of a good mix. And then, of course, there's the familiar faces of Hammond and Cheyenne and Leedy and Visai, but it's kind of a good mix.
Yeah, being the Canute guy, I'm kind of jealous we're not in that tournament for two reasons. For all those teams that you mentioned and the travel. Moreland's nice, yeah, and everything, but it's a little bit of a trek for me. I'd rather go to Leedy. And again, because it does have – it's like the five county on steroids in a weird way. You got those tough teams from the east coming this way. There's some familiarity there, but then there's some challenges there, which definitely could help you moving down the road in playoff time. Yeah, that one I'm going to keep my eye on. I'm really interested in that one, that tournament.
Yeah, you're going up to my old stomping grounds, to Moreland for the Holiday Classic. But that's a good tournament. It's a nice facility. I don't know if you've been up to the gym there. It's a nice place. Great hospitality room. So they'll treat you right up there.
Yeah, you know what you're talking about. Then if you're
listen,
first thing he brings up about tournaments is hospitality room.
Enough of the field. Who cares about who's playing basketball? Let's start ranking the hospitality rooms. And I promise you, when I did the Merritt games years ago, one of the best places the Five County could be. Was it Arapahoe? Because they would smoke that meat in the back. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he's right here, too. One of my coaching buddies, a former Canute coach, Bobby Dawson, he would basically rake tournaments by their hospitality rooms. He was a hospitality room connoisseur.
That's kind of what we've been starting to do here, too.
Sean Wilson is like the president of that club.
So next week we have Yon. We need to hear. I'll talk about Moreland's hospitality room. I want to hear how yours is. I want to hear about Childress, Texas from you, Aaron. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope they have a hospitality room. Otherwise, my whole paycheck's going to go to food, being down there as long as I'm going to be. Now, the last serious question. Does Cud do anything over there, or is he just kind of sitting in his chair in the big office and kind of pointing?
You know, now he's not coaching anymore. He kind of just puts his feet up on his desk and kind of lets everybody else do all the work. But, no, I say that in jest. He's one of the hardest working people I know, and he does a great job as our AD and as our principal, and just love working for him.
Yeah, he's a good dude. He was fun to listen to on the air as well. But, you know, duty calls. That's the way it goes sometimes. Luke, appreciate it. Good luck to the Lady Indians and the Indians up at the South Canadian Classic. We'll speak again soon.
Appreciate it, guys.
You bet. Luke Thompson is the voice of the Arapaho Butler.
I'm wondering if we need to take
Indians
a break.
Yeah, we're going to take a break.
Yeah, okay. Because yeah. we actually got a lot of people lined up here to talk to.
Yeah, we do.
So let's get.
Yeah,
on.
We're gonna take a break. When we come back, we'll start. We'll do some more We'll reminisce more with this guy than maybe some others because he's so old. He played.
Oh wow. You're gonna okay. He might not answer
in the five county. Yeah, we'll have Lake Carpenter next. Ed Crapshaw.
Got Ed.
And then also James Pruitt, Merritt as well.
So Leedy Hammond and Merritt. Well, you're
in that order.
From them. Yeah,
that's right. I'm gonna test out the name, Jared. We're running through the high school hardwood roundup.
That's a good one.
Is that too rodeo? I don't know.
The
hardwood roundup.
Hardwood roundup. Ah, I like it.
Anyhow.
I like it.
We had Talon from Eric, Luke Thompson from Arapaho Butler. Now, pleased to be joined by the voice of the Lady Bison. And Bison, it is Mr. Lake Carpenter. Lake, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, good morning. I'm good. How are you, fellas?
Doing well. Lady teams started off nicely. Wins last night at home against Hydro Eakley. It's a Carpenter thing up at Leedy now with your sister coaching. Obviously, Lance has been up there. First off, what do they go back and kind of critique you and get upset at some of the things you might say about their performance?
Absolutely. No, really, they're. I don't know if they really even listen to me. We don't listen to each other very well, but no, we. They're very complimenting most of the time, and I know Coach Beer especially goes back and watches a lot of film. She uses Paragon in many avenues, not just Leedy broadcast, but other broadcasts around the surrounding area. And she went back to watch film and has commented, and you know she's very complimentary most of the time. Coach Carpenter is, you know, if something needs to be said, he says it, but he's not going to make you feel warm and fuzzy most of the time.
Well, you need to teach that to Tatum's husband because I get critiqued by him almost every day.
Do you? Well, you know, she's probably rubbed off on him a little bit. That's what happened.
I'm wondering what's being relayed and what's really coming from him.
Exactly.
All right, the Lady Bison in the first rankings at number 9, 6-2 after the win last night. You know, it seems like this is just kind of the way that it goes up there, right? It's a young team again, but a lot of experience as young players. How have they adjusted without Riley Gore on the team this year?
Well, you know, I watched an interview a few weeks ago with Kim Mulkey down at LSU, and she's like, you should never compare teams unless you've got the same five players on the floor from one year to the next. So it's really hard to say. We do miss Riley, especially, I believe, her size and her ability to get to the rim and to make some shots when sometimes other players just weren't able to deliver. It seemed like Riley Gore was the one that would step up, being that senior last year especially. She made some big shots, made some big plays. Sometimes when the offense was stagnant, she was the one that stepped up and just delivered.
6-2 on the year, top 10 in Class B after the first rankings coming in at number 9. I mean, that has to be, I mean, compared to how last season started and obviously how it ended was pretty good. This is a pretty dang good start. So what's the feeling like over there in Leedy of how this team is progressing and maybe even elevating themselves even more after starting 6-2? A lot of optimism, I'm assuming?
Yes. You know, I felt like last night I feel like every game we do something really well, and there's always something we need to work on. I think Coach Beer would echo those same thoughts. I feel like last night offensively, I felt we executed much better. every player kind of played their role. Brynn Boatman stepped up, made shots like she's capable of making. And then Blake Puffenbarger, when Brynn maybe wasn't the one scoring, Blake Puffenbarger seemed to step in. They were kind of the 1-2 punch last night offensively. The other players, they can, they get put back, they know their role. Now, I feel like defensively we had a few breakdowns. You know, Coach Beer brings a little different of a mentality. You know, Leah, and just because I know her so well, is such a competitor. She's a very compassionate person, but at the same time, she comes from a more collegiate-type mentality, playing 4 years of college basketball. She just brings that mentality to the game, and she expects those young ladies to really hustle hard defensively, offensively. And she told Treasure, she wants these girls to go, you know, full four quarters, all intense. Don't have any breakdowns, don't have any, you know, mental lapses, be mentally tough. She's trying to kind of instill that in those young girls. I feel like it's kind of starting to surface. However, lots of good teams around here this year. You know, I have not seen one team that I felt like just blew me away that was dominant so far out in far western Oklahoma. Now, I know there's some really good teams around the state, but, you know, we took two defeats, one to Canute, the first game of the season. Jared, of course, you were there. You saw that game. Felt like Leedy came out and ready to play, but then they had some big defensive breakdown. They took that loss against Canute early on. And then the Hammond ball game, really it was just one quarter with the difference in the Hammond ball game, that second quarter where Hammond went on a run there with the last 3 minutes to go. Leedy had some turnovers and just didn't. But we outscored Hammond and held Hammond to 30-some points, which defensively was a huge success. Offensively, they have to deliver better.
I think the wins that Leedy has are pretty dang impressive in hindsight now. Beating Cheyenne was pretty good. Cheyenne took merit, gave them a fight last night, and Cheyenne's young and very talented. Sentinel beat them when they were a hot team. They might have cooled off just a little bit, but they could be a team rising. But then, of course, beating Hydro, that's a feather in your cap right there, too. I don't care what kind of Hydro team it is. That's a good win. So there's some good wins right there, and now you got a good tournament coming up. Talk about that one.
Well, yeah, speaking of Cheyenne, we have Cheyenne girls, you know, first rattle out of the box. You know, Cheyenne, definitely a tough first-round matchup. Cheyenne playing very, very well. I know they defeated Arnett by 14 a couple weeks ago. We're ahead of Hammond, supposedly 14-0 to begin the ball game. Took Merritt down to the wire last night. The Cheyenne girls and Coach Carlson doing a great job. They're young. They're very athletic. They can shoot the three. They can get to the rim. I expect tomorrow afternoon game to be a tough one. I think Cheyenne's really hitting their stride. That's what I said. Lots of teams around here that are so competitive. You know, you just don't know. It's like going to the casino. You don't know whether you're going to win or not.
Boys' side, 6-2 as well. Lance's team ranked number 10 in the first rankings. What have you seen out of the Leedy Bison so far this season?
You know, sometimes those boys get me real excited, and sometimes they disappoint me. And it's kind of a roller coaster a little bit for the boys' side. They've taken the two losses, one to Canute again. I felt like just did not play a good ball game overall, intense-wise. Canute just came out and was on fire, and we never seemed to be able to recover when the three-point shooting from Canute was tremendous that night. And then taking the loss to Sentinel, which Sentinel's a very good team, very well coached, very intense, played at Sentinel, really had Sentinel kind of where we wanted them, and unfortunately got some calls on Luke Puffenbarger, put him on the bench, and he eventually, of course, fouled out. And then I'm not blaming that necessarily. It just was one factor in the ball game that made a difference. Felt like we played a pretty good game against Sentinel, just not able to complete it, and had some mishaps along the way. But the boys are good. We have a good team. We're big. You know, we got the 6'5" freshman, Aaron Hill. I think if he ever figures out his role on the high school level. Last night, he actually came out and played very well, probably the best high school game overall he's played, although he got in some foul trouble. Him and Luke, if they both could deliver at the same time, I think we're really dangerous. Our guard play has to get better, more consistent, something we've struggled with the last few years, having that just, you know, dominant guard game. We had that, you know, back when Ty Goss played and Jack Harrell and, Parker Ward and those were Aiden Page. We had really good guards back then who could shoot the three consistently to knock down the three. We've not had that the last several years. And we've got to have some good guard play to get down the road. We got the post play. We got the size. We're going to have to get some consistent guard play.
As with the girls, the tournament up there at Leedy, it really loaded with lots and lots of good teams.
It is.
You start off with Vice. It looks like Leedy would be the number two seed in the tournament with Okarchee number one.
Yeah, Okarchee's one. Coach Carpenter and I talked about that. Okarchee's just a really good team. I think top five in Class A boys. He saw them on film. They're legit. They're definitely a number one seed. We did get the number two seed, play Vice. You know, Vice, Leedy, that's probably the used to be the biggest rival with Leedy, was Leedy Vice. I think that has switched over the last 10 years to Leedy Hammond, maybe. But, you know, still Vice is a rival less than 20 miles away, Dewey County. They will come ready to play. It'll be a tough game. Vice boys are talented. They got the Maddox Morris, 6'6", I believe, but he can shoot three like a guard and he can get the rim.
Final question for me, real quick, going back to the girls. I want you to answer this as a fan and not a professional broadcaster that you are. Okay?
Okay. I don't know about
how badly do you want to see Leedy versus Red Oak in that girls' bracket? Be a fan and answer that question. Put the truth serum in.
Well, I'd love to see Red Oak because that means we'd be in the finals.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Or third place. This first game has me really concerned against Cheyenne. I respect Cheyenne girls. I think I've just seen enough of them the last couple weeks and heard enough about them.
Like, that's not what I asked. How badly do you want to see Leedy versus Red Oak?
I would love to see Leedy and Red Oak in that championship game. Yes, that means Leedy would have to knock off, of course, Hammond in that semis.
That's right.
And that Red Oak would have to knock off Okarchee in the semis. But oh yeah, I'd love to see that. You know, I'm not probably as hung up on that matchup as a lot of people, but. You know, it'd be great. Our girls need – this is a tough stretch. Speaking of girls, and the boys got a tough stretch as well, but the girls, I mean, had Hydro last night. You turn around, got to play Cheyenne first round. You got a tough tournament ahead of you, three games, bam, bam, bam. And then you have Arnett on Tuesday, and then we have Sealing on next Friday.
Merry Christmas.
What a stretch. Yeah, Merry Christmas. You know, you could easily take 3 to 4 losses in the next 5 to 6 ball games.
Yeah, that's an amazing stretch to finish out.
Our record will not be as sexy and flashy as a lot of teams because our schedule is tough. I said that last night in the broadcast as well. I'm not sure if I should say the word sexy on the air.
You're fine.
But, I think it's just...
We don't hear it enough. Just,
none of us do. Yeah. But... No, we're going to have it, you know, and I think Coach Beard, she likes to schedule a tough schedule. Not that she necessarily made this schedule being her first year back to Leedy, but, you know, at the same time, a tough schedule that'll make our girls better. Now, we're not deep. We only have 8 girls. That includes freshmen. Only the one freshman, McKinley Carpenter, who's given us some big minutes and plays very well in the junior high. I think, once again, she's kind of like Aaron Hill. If she can kind of figure out her role on the high school level, she can certainly help our team.
Last question for me. It's sad for me that, you know, the 5 county didn't start Monday. It just had become such a staple. Hey, give us your thoughts on, you know, or just reminisce, go down the memory lane of what that 5 county tournament, some of the things you remember about it.
Well, the 5 county, number one, I played in the 5 county many, many moons ago. And, it's just it's a tournament that meant a lot to me. And here's what I really feel like that tournament brought. It brought the community of Western Oklahoma together in one gymnasium. And someone, for example, I'll just use my parents. My mom and dad loved to go, not just to watch Leedy or watch Hammond or whoever was coaching on the sideline. They liked to go because my dad liked to see all the surrounding area teams. And he would know so-and-so off that team or so-and-so's grandson or granddaughter, whoever it may be. I just felt like that tournament was the one tournament that brought in a sense of community to Western Oklahoma. And it was so competitive. competitive, usually three to four, sometimes five teams out of that five-county tournament or conference would go into the state tournament. So I personally miss it. I would not have voted to get rid of it, but they didn't ask me.
They didn't ask me either. Thank you, Lake, man. Enjoy listening to you guys. It's the most entertaining broadcast we have. And that's the truth.
That's true.
I don't know about that.
It is.
I appreciate you all.
It absolutely is.
We appreciate our fans. You know, as you know, Aaron, I have went back and watched you and listened to you. You are so, so good. I tell people that. I was like, you know, Aaron Skinny Calc is the best around. Jared, you're good too.
Oh,
nothing
thanks.
Against you. But you guys actually do such a great job. I just get sometimes my biggest one of my biggest downfalls, I have several. One of my biggest ones is I just get so involved in the game, I forget the timer and the clock. The clock is a struggle for me to always hit stop, start, and I'm watching the game going down, and I didn't start the clock. And there's 5 minutes left. Well, I'm showing there's 6.5 minutes left. So that's my biggest – I just wish I had someone to run the clock. But Treasure does a great job. She's, you know, she's highly competitive, as we know, and her young kids coming up are incredible. Mm-hmm. Shout out to them. She has a son that's an eighth grader. It's a very nice player. She has a sixth grade daughter who right now, I'm telling you, I've seen a lot of good girls players in my life, but this young lady here, she may be on another level. She keeps developing. She's impressive.
Hey, we appreciate your time, and we'll talk again soon.
All right. Thank you.
That's Lake Carpenter, voice of the Lady, Lady Bison and Bison. He's been there from the start. All right, Jared.
You're just trying to make him feel old.
Talk amongst yourself.
Who we got coming up? Ed. We got Mr. Ed Crabshaw, voice of the Hammond Warriors. You talk about a guy who has embraced this broadcast thing. That's our man, Ed. Let me get a little of history of Ed. Way back when we started Paragon, they needed to do or somebody to do Hammond basketball, and I was called upon. I said, yeah, I'm a broadcaster. I love it. I'll do it. So I went over to Hammond for 1 year and did their games. He was my stats guy who refused to put the headset on and help me out. He did not want to talk on air. Now he has embraced it. He rocks at it. He loves it. He loves the Hammond Warriors and Lady Warriors and does a great job of it. And he had the pleasure of calling a state championship game and saw his Hammond Lady Warriors win last year. Now with the new coach, they're looking to defend that title, and we'll start right there. I think we have Ed on the air. Ed, you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right. Love to have you on, buddy. I'll just sing in your praises about how awesome you're doing on this broadcast. Good job, man. It's a fun broadcast to watch. The stats and the numbers you throw at us are out of, and I know Kenneth Stomps is a big part of that too. First, I want to say thank you for really taking this seriously and doing an awesome job at it. Warrior Nation thanks you too. I hear other Hammond people tell me, man, that Ed guy is doing a great job. So good job, buddy. Happy for you.
Well, thanks a lot, man. These kids make it a lot of fun, and I enjoy doing it. And like you said, I couldn't do it without Kenneth, man. He's kind of my right hand man right there, and he's the same way. He loves Hammond basketball just as much as I do, so he's been a blessing for me for sure.
Now, Jared and I are going to need a little help here. It's not immediate, but you have kids on the Lady Warriors squad, and we're going to need you to teach us how to be so calm and cool during those broadcasts with your own kids on the floor.
Don't get me wrong. I'm up there biting my tongue. There's times I want to scream out at them, but it's definitely hard to keep my cool. But I kind of started off doing it with, like, the live stream for softball, so it kind of just ran over into this. I try to keep cool because I know what it's like watching it, and then you have an announcer basically yelling at you. So I try to keep that in mind when I'm up there.
Before we jump into the season so far, you told this to me last year in the Big House. How many times total your kids have made state tournaments, whether it be softball or basketball? How many times has that been now?
So Grace has gone to state softball, let's see here, three times, two in fast pitch, one in slow pitch. She's gone to state track twice, state cross country twice, and state basketball 3 years now.
10.
Emma's so right 10 behind. Emma's right behind her. She's made it state cross country twice, state softball one time, and then state basketball one time.
Okay, Dad, how did you do?
Oh, they've got me beat by a long time.
Did they realize that? I mean, do they realize how special that is to go to that many state events?
I remind them every day. I'm like, don't take this for granted, girls, because not every team is like this. Especially, you know, like I said, I didn't even get a sniff the big house. I was area finals when I was in high school, and most teams just want to make it one time, let alone as many times as they've gotten to do it. So they're definitely blessed for sure.
On the girls' side so far, defending state champs, obviously the expectations through the roof. There were some losses off of last year's team to graduation with Harley, Maley, and
Who did you lose?
Mariah. Yes.
Yeah.
Espinosa. So, 5-1 start. The first game against Sentinel was a loss. I understand Henley wasn't there. So, what do you think so far as the defending state champs have the Lady Warriors handled not only the new season, but also a new voice that they hear on the sidelines and Coach Conley?
I think they're still trying to find their rhythm, but I'm liking what I'm seeing so far. Like you mentioned, losing three starters. So, that very first game of the year was a tough one. We started four girls that hadn't started before at all in high school basketball. So, tough loss there right out of the gate. But I think we bounced back, and I'm liking the direction we're going. This new coach, he seems to know what he's doing. You know, he keeps the girls in there, rotation fresh going. I like what I see, just a lot of new kids getting some playing time.
You know, obviously everybody knows about Henley. What have you seen specifically from her so far that maybe she has, like, added a dimension to her game that we didn't see even last year at the Big House?
I think she's gotten a lot tougher. I mean, she has to deal with that game in, game out. She's getting constantly double-teamed, triple-teamed. Even when she doesn't have the ball, be 80 feet away from the goal, she's still getting double-teamed. So she's gotten a lot tougher, and I think that's helped her out. And knowing that she's not going to get, you know, 10, 15 a night, she's more than happy to dish it off, let some of these other girls take the ball. So she's a very unselfish player, a huge asset to the Lady Warriors.
Yeah, you know, last year, of course, Henley West was a big reason, one of the big reasons Hammond made the run and walked away with the gold ball. And I agree with Aaron here. Maley Cheney, I think, was so a big reason, too. It's such a compliment to Henley. They complimented each other. Who is stepping into that role that Cheney had, you know, that distributor, that shooter from the outside? Who do you think that is?
That's kind of hard right now. You know, Maley Cheney, those some big shoes to fill right there. But Justice is definitely stepping up, doing handling the ball for us, getting it up and down the court. There's times we struggle with the press, and she's able to bring it up for us. And then we got Shannon Ayers, senior Shannon Ayers. She's really stepping up. You know, not quite the shooter that Maley was, but she's still filling it out too. And she's big down low for us as well. Like I said, you know, with Henley down there getting double team, triple team, easy to dish off to those other big girls down there like Shannon.
On the boys' side, another new system in there with head coach Larry Johnston, very, very, very successful at Roth over the years. He steps into the role as the head coach of the boys. The Warriors 2-4 so far. To me, and I've said this numerous times since the season started, I think Hammond is going to be one of those teams. You better get them now, because by the time the calendar switches to 2024, once Coach Johnston kind of gets his system in, gets the guys believing in what he does, I think you're going to see a totally different Hammond Warriors in January and February than you're seeing right now.
Oh, I completely agree 100% right there. I think he's got this ship staring in the right direction right now. You know, they're 2-4. A couple of those losses, tough losses last night in overtime against Shattuck. I just got to give the boys some praise real quick. They were down 21 going into down 19 going into the fourth, and then it got stretched to a 21-point lead, and they came back on a 21-0 run to tie it to send it to overtime. So huge props there to the boys. I think I'm liking what I'm seeing out of Coach Johnson, too. He keeps these boys in and out of there. A lot of people may not know. He said he's got these kids, like, on set times. They know when they're going in, so they just go up and check themselves in. And so he's kind of got guys knowing when they're going to go in, when they're going to check in and out, and stuff like that. So I'm liking what I'm seeing out of him so far.
This tournament coming up looks like a lot of fun over there up in Leedy. The competition is stout. tell me how you think Hamlin's going to do and, you know, your approach to it. I mean, it's a shame. We've talked about it all hour. There's no five-county anymore, but this kind of has a five-county feel to it.
Yeah, definitely. We got some good teams up there. We got Cheyenne Raiden playing right after us on the girls' side, and then you got Red Oak up there as well, which they're really good in Class A. So I'm looking forward to some good basketball up there on the girls' side of things for sure. Kicking off the tournament bright and early tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning. Boys side of things, you know, of course you got the Leedy boys. They're good hosting their own tournament up there. And I believe Okarchi boys are good as well. So, like you said, this definitely does have like a five-county feel to it. A lot of good teams up there, and we're excited for it. I think it's going to be a good weekend.
Ed, thanks so much for joining us, man. Keep on doing the good work. You guys are killing it, you and Kenneth there in the Hammond broadcast.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. We'll do it again. It's Ed with the Hammond Warriors and Lady Warriors. All right, let's take one final timeout. We'll come back. We'll hear from James Pruitt, the Merritt Oilers and Oilerettes. Wrapping up a Wednesday high school hoops galore here on Wednesday. Now joined by the voice of the Merritt Oilerettes and the Merritt Oilers, Mr. James Pruitt. James, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself, sir?
Oh, we're doing awesome. We're talking to Lake earlier. He's talking about playing in the five county that, you know, no longer. I mean, I know you won it how many times as a Merritt Oiler?
I won it every year.
That's what I was going to say. I was there too, and I couldn't remember exactly how many of them it was.
Knows how quick he was to remember that.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I still have all the little trophies too, but I think they won it 6 years straight.
Yeah, there was some
pretty good run.
There were some good finals as well. I remember the Cheyenne game over at Arapahoe. You were still there. It was a really, really good game down to the wire. Let's talk about the Merritt team so far. Last night, the Oilerettes moved to 3-0. Toughest test so far in the 63-59 win over a young Cheyenne Raiden Lady Bears team. How did that game go, and what did you see out of the Oilerettes?
So one thing I was really impressed with was Marley Mung, who had a 30-point performance, really shot it well. But, I mean, the Oilers really responded back after going down in that second quarter, going into half, and then they really started picking up the pace and playing really hard. So that was really good to see. So, and it's impressive, too. This is a second 30-point performance from one of the Oilerette girls against Canute. It was Chloe, who had 31. So it's impressive to see how multiple girls can have 30-point nights.
Yeah, Coach Doherty's got a team there that on any given night, it feels like one of those young ladies can come alive, and that was evident right there. I'm just curious. I wasn't able to go back and watch. What is Cheyenne like? I keep hearing they're young but very, very talented. What did Cheyenne do that gave Merritt some fits last night?
I think they're just young and athletic. I didn't really get since I'm currently doing training, and I was only able to follow along in Game Changer.
Okay.
But it looks like they have some scores and they're athletic for how young they are, which is impressive to see. It's kind of like that Canute boys team.
Speaking of boys, the Merritt Oilers off to a 2-1 start. A familiar face back on the sideline with Coach Husband. Oiler-wise, what have you seen out of them in an early season start?
I see them. They're starting to every game. They've getting a little bit better on defense. I mean, it's really nice you have Josh, his young son, who's out there really being vocal, really helping, being a leader out there. And of course, it helps when you have athletes like Caden Dunlap, who not only can shoot the three really well, but is that really athletic and plays hard on defense. So
tournament up at Moreland this weekend. It's a good field. I know Jared will be there as well with Canute. Well, what do you expect out of the Oilers and the Oilerettes in a different holiday class?
Just the boys.
Oh, that's right, because the girls aren't going.
Just the boys.
That's right, just the boys.
The girls go to Ada.
That's right.
I expect they should have a really good shot of getting to play Canute again. I hadn't got to see the bracket yet, but hopefully that's going to be a Western Oklahoma final right there with Canute and Merritt. I mean, Merritt plays at 8 o'clock tomorrow. So, I mean, they just keep growing. And when they get more comfortable with what Coach Husband's wanting them to do, I expect them to make a really good run.
Looks like Canute and Merritt are on the same side of the bracket. So if they do meet up, they both get a couple wins tomorrow. They'll be in the semifinal. And a lot of familiarity there. So that, and I was after on Friday night talking to Coach Steph. I said, "Man, that was a good team. That was a good win right there." And said, "Yeah, we might get him again next week, and maybe four more times this year. Who knows?"
You always got to love seeing familiar faces.
Yeah.
Now I can't remember. Did you play for Coach Husband, or had you graduated already?
Well, I played for him 1 year.
Okay.
He came my senior year.
Okay, I couldn't remember if you were still on the floor, if you had already. If you were there at on Russ's last season. So what do you see anything different out of him so far in his coaching style, or is it just kind of the same thing and just trying to figure out a way to get the guys to understand what he's asking?
Well, Coach Husband's always going to be Coach Husband. His personality hasn't changed. I mean, I got to talk to him a little bit this summer where he changed a couple things with his offense, but from what I see, defensive philosophy and stuff like that, nothing's changed since when I've gone there. It's a lot of communication and making sure you're in the right help. So it's just kind of a little bit different schematics from what they had last year, but I think it's just going to take a little time for them to just get used to that style of defense.
Yeah, it feels like a lot of the boys' teams outside of maybe Leedy and the Paragon Network, you expect them to be better in the January and February than now with some changes with coaching and some young kids playing. It feels like there's some slow starts out there, but teams that have talent that can really start to elevate their games as we move on throughout the season.
Exactly. And also doesn't hurt when you have a 6'7" junior who can swat everything away, Luke Peffer.
Absolutely. All right, James, man, we appreciate your time. I know you got to run. We'll do it again, and appreciate your knowledge of Merritt basketball.
Thank you very much. Y'all have a good one.
Absolutely. James Pruitt, voice of Merritt Hoops. That was pretty good. We'll have to get. Who did we miss? We got Cheyenne.
Oh, and you get Rob on.
Rob,
we'll get him on, and
Chip
Moore down in Hollis. We'll get
That's
him
it.
On.
No, one more. Oh, you're here though.
Oh yeah. Well, we'll cover that.
Yeah, you're here.
We'll
It'd be
review.
8-9. Yeah, that's what it is. Good stuff. We appreciate all those guys' time.
Yes, yes.
No, it's busy schedules and right there. At the first of the morning, but you know, I think Lake hit the nail right on the head. For years and years and years, you know, the Five County was a place that everybody could gather and watch really, really good basketball, because as you know, 3-4 maybe sometimes even 5 teams in one of those girls or boys brackets were teams that you end up seeing once we got to the state tournament, and sometimes maybe even see each other once we got to the state tournament. So you know, that's it doesn't maybe look now like there's that many, but let's wait until January or February before we, you know, decide.
Yeah. Yeah. That tournament over in the South Canadian Classic over in Leedy, it's going to have that five-county feel with the participants, and we'll probably see a lot of those familiar matchups too. And maybe up in Moreland we can get a Canute Merritt matchup. So maybe Friday we could have a full five county day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Full county or five county matchups.
Yeah, we appreciate one of our listeners, Wayne, sending us the girls bracket.
Yeah.
Down there in Granite, as we were talking with Talon earlier. Granite and Eric on the girls side will play tomorrow night. Some other teams. Lakeba Sickles looks like the number one seed in that tournament. I think they're, number three in Class B girls to start out with. Indiahoma, Blair, and then Navajo and Gracemont. Coach Ellison's team at Navajo is kind of, 13 maybe in Class A? They were in that just below the top 10 in the first ranking. So there's going to be, it's not just the five county schools. There's, Granite and Hollis. There's going to be really good basketball all across Western Oklahoma, starting tomorrow and all the way through the weekend.
Yeah, and saying earlier this weekend, make a note of who's winning, who's having success in these tournaments, because I know it's not the five county tournament, but it is something that could be an indicator for us of what teams are going to look like come playoff time, and what that could even mean later down the road, maybe a possible playing into the big house. So take note of these tournaments and the outcomes. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, we'll basically have two weeks in a row this week. You know, there are some games next week heading into the Christmas break, but then, of course, coming right out of Christmas, that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, everybody's somewhere playing a tournament then as well. Man, we appreciate all of our Paragon folks for joining us today. Talk high school hoops. I mean, tons and tons and tons of people end up going to these games that don't have a dog in the fight. They just love watching basketball.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of options. A lot of options. Go check out some games.
We will be back tomorrow. Everybody have a fine Wednesday. Well, I'll be on the road probably. Have to be a call-in like those guys. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!